Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Thai Beverage Full Year 2016 Financial Results Conference Call. I am Namfon Aungsutornrungsi of the Investor Relations Department. The format of the call today will start with a summary of the 2016 results. Then we will open for the Q&A with our management team. Before we start the summary of the financial results, I'm glad to inform you that in October 2016, Fitch Ratings upgraded Thai Beverage credit rating based on the improvement of our financial profile. The upgrading is one notch higher from AA outlook stable to be AA+ outlook stable. Please note that the company has changed the fiscal year to begin on the 1st of October and ended on the 30th September of every year. The first new fiscal year started in 2016 will be 9-month period from the 1st of January 2016 to the 30th September 2016. For the benefit of investors in comparing and analyzing the financial information, the company has disclosed the supplementary information in the form of unaudited financial statements for 9-month period ended 30th September 2015 as per Note 40 of financial statement for the year ended 30th September 2016. Now we will start the summary of the full year 2016 financial results. The total sales revenue of the company for the year ended 30th September 2016 was 139,153 million baht, an increase of 14.8% year-on-year, attributable to the increase in sales revenue of all segments. Net profit from continuing operations was 19,036 million baht, or an increase of 14.3% when compared to last year. This was due to an increase in net profit of beer, food, F&N and ATL, and a decrease in net loss of non-alcoholic beverage business. The board of directors has proposed to issue a dividend of 15,066 million baht, or 0.6 baht per share. The payout ratio in 2016 was 80%, which was higher than those in previous year. Please note that the interim dividend was paid in September 2016 at 0.2 baht per share already, and the remaining dividend will be 0.4 baht per share. For the year ended 30th September 2016, sales revenue generated by the spirits business was 76,649 million baht, an increase of 112 million from last year. Total sales volume of spirits increased by 2.3%. Spirits business net profit was 14,548 million baht, which was close to that of last year. Comparing year-on-year, purchasing power still maintained at the same level, and some customers trading down to drink white spirits, which has lower price point and generated less profit per bottle comparing to brown spirits. As a result, spirits business reported no growth in net profit despite higher sales volume this year. Beer business for the year ended 30th September 2016 showed a very satisfactory performance. Sales revenue was 44,397 million baht, rose 62.3% compared to last year. The success of New Town Beer, as well as continuous and effective marketing efforts, resulted in a 54.5% increase in beer sales volume. Moreover, a decrease in raw material costs, a decrease in fixed cost per unit, resulted in a jump of beer net profit by 280.8% to 2,780 million baht. Non-alcoholic beverage sales revenue for the year ended 30th September 2016 increased by 6.8% compared to last year to 13,290 million baht. The growth in the business was from an increase in sales volume of drinking water, carbonated soft drink, ready-to-drink tea, and Jack Jai. Furthermore, favorable packaging costs and a decrease in finance costs resulted in an improvement in the net loss of this group of 28.5% compared to the net loss, excluding gain on sales of Songsuk land and building of last year. Sales revenue generated by food business for the year ended 30th September 2016 was 4,993 million baht, an increase by 67 million. This was mainly due to the sales footprint of Asia was included. In addition, a cost efficiency and controlling advertising and promotion expenses helped the food business to hike net profit up 134.8% compared to last year. Sales revenue of international business for the year ended 30th September 2016 declined by 10.5% compared to last year. This was impacted by a decrease in sales revenue of beer and spirits. The negative growth in beer was mainly due to the slowdown in ASEAN sales despite positive sales growth in Singapore and Cambodia. While the decrease in spirits revenue was mainly from the beef stirring, decrease in sales from non-core market and OEM brands. We will now open the call to any question on our results. Operator, please now open the line for the Q&A.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Our first question, Prince Singh from UBS Exec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. First is on the spirits revenue decline on a year-on-year basis. Is it? I see the volumes have actually gone up. Is the decline entirely on account of the mix shift, or is there any element of any change in the stocking trade? That's my first question. The second question is generally on the OPEX lines. If you see across the board, the OPEX has gone up, quite substantially. So just want to understand, is there any one-off in the OPEX line, or are there elements, has anything been shifted from the next quarter to this quarter because of the year-end accounting change? So these are my two questions. Thanks.
Okay, Amresha, I would like to respond to your two questions. The first one, the third quarter spirit decline actually is a mixture of economic problems and also the destocking problems. The white spirit is still growing slightly. The problem is on the brown spirit, where consumption in the third quarter declined. According to Nielsen, it declined by 7%. Okay, and some of the destocking also, so that will be the problem of the third quarter volume for spirit. And the second question, the SG&A, you are right, that is kind of a phasing. Normally we accrue the bonus, special bonus, in the fourth quarter, but this year, since we closed the year for 9 months, we decide to pay bonus based on the 9 months to according to the new financial year. So next quarter, I think this SG&A will probably be lower than the, if you compare Q on Q. It's just a matter of shifting, yes.
Okay, thank you. Could you just quantify what be the amount of that bonus which has shifted to this quarter?
Well, I think normally every month we accrue by 1.5 month, right? Because that's some of our minimum bonus. And then the management will see whether the performance is good. This year the performance is good, so we put another 0.5 month on top of that, which means 2 months. And then we have to accrue the remaining everything in the third quarter or September.
Understood. And on your destocking, is the inventory level for spirits now back to the norm, or do you think there is some more destocking which needs to be done? Especially in context of the event in Thailand, given that consumption may slow down in the quarter and in the near term. So just want to understand, where are you in spirits in stock levels in the trade?
Okay, I think the stock level at the end of September before the incident was white spirit with about 3 weeks. Normally it's about 2 weeks or something. And the brown spirit a bit higher, like four week to 5 weeks. And then you are correct, because of the incident that happened in Thailand now, the offtake is slower because there are a lot of activities have to postpone to next year. I anticipate there will be a bit more destocking going on for 1 or 2 months.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question, Marianne Chin from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the call. My first question is on spirits. Can you talk about the difference in margins between brown spirits and white spirits? I know you mentioned that on a per bottle basis, your white spirits have lower absolute profit. But I think in the past, you've mentioned that the margins for brown and white spirits are actually very similar. So in this quarter, we saw this shift towards white spirits, and margins actually came down significantly. Can you just talk about that, please?
If you're talking about the gross margin, it's roughly the same. But for the brown spirit, because we spend more A and P than the white spirit, then that probably affect a bit. Which means net brand contribution is a bit less than white spirit, actually. But I don't think it's just... Yeah, go ahead.
We are seeing that brown spirits have lower margins.
Marianne, it's like this. If you talk about in terms of per bottle in baht terms, since brown spirits, the selling price is higher, so in baht terms, for the margin is higher in the brown. But if you talk about in percentage term, it's quite brown and white is quite close to each other at the net level.
Okay, because the thing is that spirit margins were actually very weak this quarter.
It's the weak.
And if we see an increase.
Marianne, the weak is go back to the question that Princey just asked. It's more because of the SD&A, it's more because of the one off that we adjust for the echo for the bonus. Yeah.
Okay, understand. Okay, thank you. My next question is on beer. Can you give us some color on how beer market shares have been in this quarter?
For the quarter we just passed, I think we've kind of stabilized after our launch. As I think it's been public, since we've relaunched Chang, we've actually gained about 10% market share. And so far, the last quarter, we've kind of stabilized with that growth.
So it's still about 41-42%?
It's around 40%. That's what we're looking at. Yeah.
Okay. Sure, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Marian.
Our next question, Francisca Widajaya from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi everyone. I just have two questions. Firstly, can you talk about the competitive dynamics of beer? On there's apparently been some launches from the competitor. Are you seeing the same? And are you sort of worried about the Chang beer? And then the second question is. What have you seen since the recent incident, and are you revising down the target for beer and spirits growth, or and also for next year? What are you seeing in terms of volume so far? Thanks.
Okay, for beer, in terms of competition, the competition has kind of relaunched, but what they've actually done is just a facelift. So for the key brand, which is Leo, they have actually changed the label, but they kept the same bottle. They've lowered the volume in terms of, it's basically the same bottle, but they just kind of gave a less filled volume. So otherwise, it's nothing hugely significant. In terms of... sorry, come again?
The taste has pretty much stayed the same as well?
Yeah, they have not changed the taste. So the taste has remained the same. So largely it's just a facelift in terms of the labels. In terms of bottles, it's more or less remained the same. In terms of the impact of the recent incident, the market has slowed down slightly. It has slowed down slightly. That's as expected. But what they've noticed is since the government has actually allowed activities to kind of resume since the 14th of November, so we have seen a slight pick up in the business. I think moving forward, we would think things should get back to be a bit more positive in the coming months. So I think that's where we are.
Francisca, this is from the Spirit Group. This is Prabhakon from the Spirit Group. So this quarter, I mean October, November, December, Certainly going to be a lower quarter than a year before, due to the current events. The activities, a lot of our products are off-trade products, are doing at home products. Those are still doing relatively better than the one of the brand, which is an on-trade products, which is a Blend 285 brand, which is closely linked to an international image product. So those are more on-trade products. Those get more impacted. The white spirits are just still in line with the normal consumption, other than the 30-day period, the first 30-day period where there's a lot less of celebrating activities. And going into the New Year's, we believe that some of the normal New Year's activities will resume. However, it will not be as robust or celebrating as a normal year. But that's going toward the year end. But after the year end, into the January period, after that, we believe that the situation will resume to normal.
Okay, that's good. Thanks. How about for beer?
Same thing. Well, it's the same. We share exactly the same market, so I think the sentiments are quite similar. I think the consumers are, in terms of activities and all that, things are slowly normalizing. But I guess after the first quarter, means beginning next year, we think things will probably get back to normal. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question, TTT up from Patra, please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. I have three questions. I think I go one by one. Number one is on beer. You mentioned earlier that the beer market share has stabilized around 40% in the third quarter. But then if you look at your sales volume growth, also the sales growth in bottom of beer, it slowed down quite substantially from what we have seen in the second quarter. So does it mean that the beer market slowed down in the third quarter?
Yeah, because the third quarter usually is a slow period because we move into Buddhist Lent, so that's expected. So if you look at quarter two compared to quarter three is naturally slower.
You're talking about Q on Q or year on year?
Year on year. The third quarter is weak, but we compare against the weak quarter as well for 2015. Yeah. But then...
I think if you look at comparing Q3 this year vis-a-vis Q3 last year, there is an increase.
Actually. Yes, that's right.
There is an increase. It's not a slowdown.
You
talk about the menu.
Can I explain? There's an increase, right? But you have to remember that we launched our brand on 19th of August. So 19th of August last year and September last year was when we actually loaded up the market quite a bit because it was very dry, right? So because of that, the impact for this period in September, the growth rate will not be as high because there was a lot of loading last year artificially because the market was dry.
Oh, okay. So you said it's mainly because of the high base in the third quarter of 2015.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Sure. That's very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
The second question is on spirit. I understand that the brown has been weak compared to the white. The white is still doing okay. But then if you look at the average spirit per liter, it came down from 192 in first quarter to 179 second quarter. And it went down a little bit further to 176 in the third quarter. So, you know, what caused the average price to keep going down from second quarter to the third quarter? Has the brow become even weaker in the third quarter compared to second quarter?
Ted, you're correct, because the product mix between white and brown on the third quarter, white is increasing, while brown is weakening. If you remember the first half, I said the brown was declined by 3 or 4%, but the third quarter current Nielsen is dropped by 8%.
Right.
Consumption. plus the destocking and all.
Okay, so the barrel continued to be weak in the third quarter.
Correct, correct.
Thank you. And then the last question is on the non-alcoholic beverage. If you look at OAG, it's making profit, and then the loss of Samsung has declined substantially this year. But if you look at the net loss of the non-health, it's stable, it has not declined year on year. May I ask why is that? Where did the loss come from?
Yeah, you're right that both Oishi and Samsung have performed better than last year. However, the marketing expenses, especially for S 100 Plus, are all captured in the holding company, the management holding company, Thai Drinks. And there have been a bunching of some of these expenses in this third quarter. And in part, it's one or two new campaigns, and in part, it is timing difference because some of these campaigns are. What happened last year in the fourth quarter. For example, we had a big Mercedes-Benz campaign last year in the fourth quarter that was advanced a bit to the third quarter this year. So that's one reason. The other reason is also, as Kunoicha mentioned, there's a bit of bonus additional accrual that has happened in third quarter of this year, which happened only in the fourth quarter last year because of the change in financial year. We take the pain this year, but overall, in terms of the full year trends, we are the growth that we see in the full year in profitability or the reduction in losses are intact, and we expect that to continue going forward.
All right. Okay. Thank you. And then one last question also on the non-L. If you look at the non-L. The sales volume in the third quarter declined by nearly 30% year on year. May I ask which product that has not done so well in the third quarter?
Yeah, it's essentially Gatorade and Lipton, which we are producing and selling on behalf of Pepsi. And those contracts terminated in April and July of this year. So we lost the full impact of these two products.
Thank you. Next question, Yusuf from UBS. Please go ahead. Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. I just want to go back to your beer business, please. I understand your competitor has increased marketing expenses in Q3, apart from changing the label and other things that you mentioned. So I'm just wondering whether, I understand you're coming from a high beer last year, how this impacts your marketing expenses and ability to increase your volume sales. I see the percentage increase year on year increase, but it's lower than the first half. So how much is, apart from a low base and seasonality, how much is related to a rising competitive environment in the market? This is my first question. My second question is regarding the dividend payment. So should we assume that in Q4 there will be no more dividend payment? So we're starting from zero going forward for the fiscal year from October 1st. I just want to clarify on the dividend. And lastly, any update on the excise tax? Thank you.
Excise tax. Okay, beer.
Yeah, I think you are right. Yeah? In addition to just the base lift in terms of the label, the competition has naturally invested a lot in terms of marketing spend, which they have not done before. But what we have done is we have continued our efforts ever since our launch. So we've continued investing behind the Chang brand. And that has actually given us quite a bit of results in terms of the equity scores for the brand. So safe to say that our investment is as per our plan. It's just that the competition is reacting to whatever we are doing, and we are on track in terms of the results we are getting, very much in terms of the brand scores, because so far the latest is we are ahead of our competition in terms of the image measures, all the key image measures, basically indicating that our investment is giving us good returns. In terms of moving ahead, we would still continue to invest behind the brand as per our plan. We also do expect the competition to continue to invest, but I think it all depends on how effective the campaign is. But we are moving on track.
Okay, on dividend. On dividend, Khun Sita, I will respond.
Yeah, so, Thuy Thai CFO, since we change the new financial year, our new financial year will start from October to September. So, I actually that on the Q4 of the calendar year, no any dividend payment. Dividend payment will pay two times a year, with the interim dividend and the final dividend. For the first half of the new financial year, we come from October to March. It means that the new interim dividend payment will happen when we announce the result of the first half. This is on the May, on the month of May, which is from August to May. And final, we used to pay on the on the February, we shift from February to November.
Okay, on the third question on excise tax, nothing has changed from the information I gave to the meeting last time. The government is still moving, want to implement the change in excise tax, moving from the wholesale base to the retail base. And then the timing is, as I anticipated, it will probably be first quarter next year, or sometime between March to May. We don't know yet. The process is still on. According to the government official, they come out and say to the press that they have this is in the parliamentary process right now.
Just a quick one, if I may follow up. Any update on restructuring?
It's on track. But I used to say on the last conference call that it will happen on next year.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question, Nicholas Tay from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
I just have a few questions. Just on the marketing expenses, given the event that's happened, should we think of fourth quarter as a quarter where you've postponed some of the marketing costs towards the first quarter all the way to third quarter next year? And the other question I had was on the what's the sales mix at the moment for brown and white spirits? And finally, are there any since you created the route to market department, what's the main focus at the moment for the initial initiatives that we could see happening between the route to market side? Thanks.
So I recap your question. The first one is talking about the cost in the fourth Q. Is it gonna shift since it shifted into the third Q, how about the fourth quarter in calendar year for the cost, right? And the second question
marketing expenses,
right?
That
you're planning. On the alcoholic beverage front, I think both beer and spirit, since the beginning of the event on the middle of October, all their marketing expenses have been cut back, basically for the first 30 day cancel, and advertising big event will only occur after the New Year's. For the moment, going to the year end, there are only limited events that are being done, so mostly on premises. So I would say in some significantly cut back and postponed to next year. That's from their marketing activities. From the mix of brown and white spirit, I think normally we don't disclose this. I can say that it has been quite consistent. There's some brown spirit reductions and of course been covered by the white spirit, but the changes over the past 1-2 years are not that significant.
For the third question, you're asking about the route to market.
We have done a lot on the route to market. Right now I think in the past few years, we have separated the team between the beer and the spirit, and you can see the result when they focus on beer more, the result is very good. So in terms of improvement of the route to market, we probably trying to improve the capability of our people. It will be a soft skill. Structure-wise, we probably won't change very much.
Okay, I just one quick follow-up. Can I just check that there's been no market share loss since Leo started to launch their new beer?
I think with the relaunch of their new label, I think the market share has, we haven't seen any impact. It has stabilized actually. Yeah. Because it's just a label change. I mean, the bottle's the same.
Sure. Do you guys have any more further questions? That's all for now. Thanks. Thank you. Next question, Lynn Volven from Albiza Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the presentation. I hope everybody's doing very well. I've got three follow-up questions. One is on the beer. If you strip up the quota, I think taxes were very little at just a few million Thai, but I'm not sure why this is the case, although we have quite a bit of profit before taxes. Could you help me understand that?
Confirm you. Should it be Thai CFO? We have the domestic and the international. For international beer, we sell to our Hong Kong. Hong Kong is an offshore income. Offshore income is no tax. It means that it's a tax less because we have more export on that one.
Okay, so exports is no tax and not negative tax, or it's not a tax incentive, right? But there must have been quite a bit of volume going through the domestic channel in the quota alone. That would have given some significant profits before tax, and that's possible.
Can you recap your question again?
Okay, so if we just zoom into the beer financials under segment information on your financial notes, and you stripped out the quota results of this year, we can find out that, if my numbers are not wrong, I think tax for the beer segment was just about maybe 2 million baht versus a profit before tax of 221 million baht. I'm not sure why the taxes were so low this quarter.
You go to other question. I will check for the number, and then we can come back to this question again.
Okay, cool. And my next question is on non-alcoholic beverages. The presentation in the quarter of 2015 gave me a different number for the volumes of carbonated soft drink. I think it was at 209 milliliters. So if I use that number, there's been a bit of a decrease in the volumes. Although if I used years numbers, there's a bit of an increase, although that's not much. Either way, could you help me to understand how is Surfsup and Astrid Plus doing in terms of market share and versus your expectations?
Okay, I'll let Nanfan confirm on the volumes. In terms of market share, all our major brands are showing increase in market share. Crystal has gone up from 17.1% at the end of last year, December 15, to 18.6% as of September this year. Est has gone up from 9.5% as of December last year to 10.1%. Oishi has also gone up during this period. So all the three brands are showing improvement. There is significant volume growth. Est is growing at roughly 9-10% year to date, September 9 months. Crystal is growing at north of 17-18%. And Oishi is also showing positive growth for the year. So the brands and volumes for the year and the quarter, the growth is intact. But the actual numbers, I think Namfon can confirm why the numbers are different as per your.
If you're looking at the third quarter, you talk about third quarter, right?
Yeah,
the third quarter, the core product like Oishi Green Tea, S, Crystal, they all go up. Like S in the third Q is grow 11%, and Crystal grow 14%.
Okay, understood. And how is 100 Plus doing? Is it that big difference in the last marketing?
The 100 plus, I think we have, in terms of volumes, it's slightly lower. But in terms of the overall position of the brand, I think we're quite happy with it. The packaging, the taste, the product, the concept has been well received. I think we have been successful in establishing the brand credentials as being tasty, refreshing, as minerals, isotonic, and has been appealing well to the consumer. So as next step, I think our plan is to move it, like in Malaysia, which we did successfully, is to move 100 plus into the category of CSD as a healthier choice. In fact, 100 plus has been certified as a healthier choice, CSD, by the FDA accredited university in Thailand. So we have aggressively positioned this on CSD consumption occasions, and that's what we believe will provide us the next wave or next leg of growth, because it's doing well in the isotonic category, but we wanted to play in a bigger space, which is the CSD, and that's where we are starting the new campaign to go on to the CSD, to go to the CSD category. And that is what we plan for the current year. So overall, I think we are quite positive that the three attributes of the brand, namely refreshing, which is lightly carbonated, the healthier product, because it has low sugar, less than 6%, which is roughly half of other CSDs, and the seven minerals, which are rehydrating, these three propositions will give us a good lift, good story for the brand.
Okay. Perfect. Sipin Chai, CFO. On the beer side, the two reasons for the tax lower. One is for the export sale, we are offshore, no tax. Secondly, for the beer side, on the domestic, government they have incentive. If you have any cap X that to be finished on the year 2016, they give 2 times back tax benefit to you. So we have the on cap X just finished on the this third field, so we have the 2 times tax benefit. Instead of you deduct 40%, and we have the for the donation we can get the 2 times benefit also. So we have so many 2 times benefit to deduct the tax on that one.
Thank you very much. And just my last question is raw material prices at the moment, how long do you think you can sustain the margins for, how many, one or two more quarters before you see a change?
You talk about which product group?
Specifically on spirits and beer.
I think for both, you know, for raw material, for both products, we have secure, you know, all the raw material for 1 year. So I think that's more than adequate, that the price is stabilized. You
know. Yeah, most more molasses.
Yeah, for more and molasses.
Okay, got it. Great, thanks.
Okay.
Next question, Yun Milesh from Munston. Please go ahead. Good evening, everybody. I've got a question on spirits and a couple of questions on beer, if that's okay, please. Just wanted to understand what actions you're taking to reverse the spirit mix shift, and when do you think you'll be able to have an impact on that, first of all?
Kind of fight against that. Okay, what seriously, what we are doing is we are trying to sort of hold the decline of spirit by increase the activities. Unfortunately, this quarter we cannot do much, but from the next quarter on, we probably have to have more activities to really sort of get the consumption on the brown spirit. Most brown spirit consume at the on-premise or on-trade, so we probably have to increase the on-trade activities. But actually, the shifting between white and brown is mainly because of the macroeconomy. If people have less money, they will still want to get high, so they move to the cheaper product. That is quite natural, and we are seeing this. I mean, in the past 20 years, it's like this. But when the economy come back, then the brown spirit will naturally will grow. Okay. What one good things I believe that we have the brown spirit is the people who are afforded to drink brown spirit, they used to have debt in terms of installment on the first car, which promoted by the government 5 years ago, but now they are all over. It tells people are not crazy enough to buy a new car, then they will have more money to buy to drink spirit. So that is the positive factor with, that we can see there will be some shift, to have some shift of the brown spirit. Okay?
Yes. This is for Prabhupada. Just to add to that, I mean, the mix of brown and white, the white spirit is a price at much lower in terms of retail price than the brown spirit. So it is the income level. And so the switching is at the fringe between the income gap between the browns and whites spirit. So as a generally economies are not doing so well, people at the fringe move from brown to white. But not all, but that's not a long-term migration. As when the economy returns and people have more money, there'll be a further shift back into the brown spirit. So that's really the way we look at things.
And if I understand correctly, then beer pricing is higher than spirits pricing on a liters of pure alcohol basis. So why is the beer industry growing despite this economic headwind when the brown spirits is declining? Surely it should be the same kind of dynamics.
The per liter beer is more per occasion.
Actually, if you look at the nuisance, their per occasion beer is cheaper. I mean, because spirit.
Yeah, but on a pure alcohol, on a like-for-like basis.
Oh, you cannot compare that. You cannot compare that. I mean, they analyze that. Okay, one bottle of spirit, including mixer and everything, and then four people consume one bottle on one night. Average is about 80 from something, but beer is still about 60, 70.
I guess it's also the occasion, because and generally the trend towards I think because beer, I think this in terms of alcohol content and occasions and all that, I think it does give you a lot more opportunities in terms of growth. So generally, it's quite different from spirit.
I think your point is being that things are more expensive, still growing. Why is it that the brown spirits are not growing? It's have to do with the ritual and the way they drink as well. The beer tend to be a lot more convenient, and the session for beer drinkings are shorter in terms of duration of sessions. So as people have a bit less money, they may switch to a shorter sessions. In the brown spirit sessions, it can take like 2 hours to complete the session. If you have a one bottle of 70 ml and 4 or 5 persons start to drink together, it can take an hour and a half to 2 hours. As for beer sessions, although it's a bit more expensive, the session could last maybe an hour. And in addition to it, in the past 12 months, over 12 months, the government has been trying to ask the night outlet to close on time. And this is the interesting thing, asking the night outlet to close by midnight. And if you've been to Thailand, some of the night outlet don't close at midnight, they close at 2 a.m. And but asking them to close at midnight, a bit more enforcing it, which that kind of like causing the late night alcoholic beverage consumption, which tend to be more spirit than beer, to be cut back. So the sessions start earlier in the night. So tendency is that there are more beer there. But as for the enforcement of the spirit outlet to close at midnight or 2 a.m., that's depend on how lax is the government in terms of enforcing. But generally the law is midnight.
Following the kind of management reshuffle that took place about a month or so ago, how do you expect the spirit strategy to evolve over time?
I don't call this a reshuffle, but I'm Prabhakaran, I'm a head of spirit. I'm sitting next to Kun Wei Shai, the former head of spirit. So we sit on the same floor with the office next to each other. So we are continue on with our existing plan, and we will continue to exercise and execute the plan that we already have. So it's actually actually you got two more two persons at one now on the spirit side. From the BSI, Edmund is now in charge. So I mean, Edmund has been running our Thai business for the past over 2 years, and the Thai business is, you know, representing 90% of our business. So in terms of that strategy, it will be continue executing on existing strategies as well. So not much of shifting.
I think the transition is go smoothly, and then we still love each other.
Here, and just to finish off quickly on beer, what's the capacity utilization been over the last 12 months? And I noticed that the Cox procedure has declined quite considerably. Has that been primarily driven by the increased use of return of second-hand bottles, or by the smaller pack size and lower alcohol, or a different driver?
Okay. In terms of capacity usage, it's about 53%. In terms of cost itself, it has improved largely to do with higher return rates. And also, we've got very good pricing in terms of raw materials.
So it's raw materials return rates rather than kind of fixed cost leverage?
Of course, fixed cost in terms of, I mean, as a percentage, as a volume increases, then you, in terms of fixed cost, it becomes a lot healthier in terms of per liter. But largely it's driven by raw materials as well as return rates.
Okay, excellent. Thank you very much. That's very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next follow-up question, Marianne Chin from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, my question for Vivek. I just wanted to understand how to think about drawdown losses. So you mentioned that there's a campaign for 100 plus in the fourth quarter. How many campaigns has there been this year? And should we be expecting non-down losses to be heightened in the fourth quarter? I think you're also getting new lines for Oishi and Crystal, which should add to the cost. So I just wanted to understand how to think about SG&A on a year-on-year basis.
Yeah, I think what we saw in the third quarter was a bunching of a few campaigns which were not there last year. So last year we had a big promotion for Benz, Mercedes-Benz, 30 Benz for S, which was in the fourth quarter. This year we had put in some campaign for S, Crystal, Oishi, all in the third quarter. So there's a timing issue on the SGA. In the fourth quarter, our SGA is not likely to be very high. In part also because of the mourning period that we have suspended a lot of our commercials. So the 100 plus that I mentioned that we are repositioning as CSD is likely to start more in next year, likely to be in the first calendar quarter of next year, which is the Jan to March quarter, the summer period. So probably from Feb, March when the summer is in place. So we won't see a big blowout of SG&A in the first quarter of the 2017 financial year. So that's one. In terms of CAPEX, I think the five lines that we're talking about, four or five lines for Crystal, there are two points there. One is that during summer, because of the demand and the seasonality, we need a lot of extra capacity. So these four or five lines will help us to increase our capacity. So that's one. And meet the demand during summer. Secondly, we had a shortfall in capacity both in Northeast and South. So the new plants that have come up in the Northeast in July has not only increased the availability but also reduced the logistic cost. As you know, logistic cost can be as much as 10% of sales for water, because water is low value but very expensive to travel across the country. So I think we are saving logistic costs, we've got extra capacity available, and the cost of CAPEX for waterline is not very high. You're talking of maximum 100 million, and we are setting up, so the five lines, it totally costs us about 300-400 million. Not a huge amount in context of the savings of logistic cost
and also the extra capacity available for summer. As you know, we are growing at 17% year on year, so we need to keep growing our capacity to meet the demand. So that's for Crystal. For Oishi, I will let Kun Marut answer the question on the CAPEX for the CFO that we're going to come up by end of the year.
Yes, we have invested in the line 4 of CA for Oishi production, and we also plan for the next year volume to build it in terms of like planning out for the capacity utilization. So next year we plan to expand our market to international, like Laos and Cambodia, which we already have been there, but we enforce more on the market activity to increase the volume. And also the other countries like Myanmar as well, because we haven't had a kind of production there. So in summary, I think CFO we have invest put into in terms of CAPEX, and we already have a plan for the volume expansion next year.
Okay. So I understand that there are some kind of timing issues in this quarter, but if you were to adjust for this bonus accrual and the Mercedes-Benz campaign, if you look at it on a third quarter basis, how do non-L losses compare year on year in a percentage term?
Even if you take into account the punching of expenses and the year-end accruals for bonus, we have still seen a 58% increase in 58% improvement in our EBITDA losses. So this is before discounting the punching of expenses. If we exclude that, I think we would have done probably another, 100 to 200 million extra savings in our costs. So I would roughly say about 150 million. 100 million plus is the accrual on bonus, more than 100 million, and I would say another 150 million on the marketing expenses, which are one-off. Not one-off, which have been bunched together in this quarter.
Your EBIT losses actually widened year on year, right? In the third quarter.
Oh, you're talking about third quarter.
You're talking third quarter or full year? I was referring to the full year.
Third quarter.
Full year has a 58%. 58% improvement in the EBITDA for the full year. But if you look at the third quarter, the EBITDA is lower by 150 million roughly, and that is explained just by the bonus itself. So bonus, extra bonus accounts about 120 million, and the marketing cost, if we were to remove the bunching and one-off compared to last year, we would be looking at another saving of 150 million.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much.
Any more further question, Marian?
Good, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question, Francesca Vida Jaja from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a quick follow-up on dividend policy. So you're saying that you're raising the dividend payout ratio to 80%. Is that sustainable for the next year and the following? Thanks.
Our dividend policy is not less than 50%, but subject to the cash flow and the big capex. For the next year, sometimes based on the performance. It's a performance, you can see that our payout ratio is about, subject to the our liquidity also, you can see that currently our net debt to equity is just 0.3 only. And then our dividend payout just 80%. If you see the part, it used to pay 83%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, thank you.
Our next follow-up question, Lady Revolt from Alvisa Capital. Please go ahead. All right, just a quick question on the balance sheet, because I think you loaded on 50 million baht of long-term loans in the third quarter, which is confusing a bit for me, given that how strong your operating cash flow is. Could you tell me what that to be used for?
You can normally you cannot compare December to September. December is a festive season. Normally at the first Q of the calendar year is a super season for us. But third Q, 30 September, normally is a I call the normal season. It's a budget lens and it's a learning season. Normally we make a stock in the first Q in order for the first Q sale.
That was to finance the working capital for the fourth quarter, is that correct?
Yeah, yes. So we expect that on the fourth Q of the calendar year, we can get the we can make the debt lower because the September is the third Q, it's a normal season, December is the peak season.
Okay, sure. Thank you. Next question, Nicholas Tay from Credit Suisse, please go ahead. Hi, just two more questions for me. For Oishi, can you just remind me what the market share is at the moment, and also for the bonus impact in third quarter, are you able to quantify that for spirits and beer like you did for the non-alcoholic? First, for the market share, Oishi,
for the total RTDT market, we are 43%, about like 2 or 3% beyond our competitors. And for the only green tea market, only RTD green tea market, we are about 45%, which is like almost 10% beyond our competitors.
Hello, Nicholas. For the impact in terms of the accrual adjustment for the bonus, the spread segment is roughly like 190 million, and for the beer is roughly 170 million.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
For the spread, it's roughly 190 million. For the beer, it's roughly 170 million. For the impact.
Okay, got it. Thanks. Any more follow-up questions, Nicholas? No, that's all. Thanks. Thank you. Our next question, Elizabeth Lin from One North Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for the question. Just a holistic picture on SG&A, when I'm looking at this quarter ended September, SG&A as a percentage of sales is high across all the segments. So we've been through several questions throughout this call, so I just wanted to get a whole picture. You mentioned that a part of this is because of the bonuses being accrued earlier versus last year, which is being booked at each of the reported segments, just to be just so I can understand. And then earlier, a couple of quarters ago, you mentioned that the beer advertising would be backloaded into the rest of this year. So is that being seen right now? And earlier on this call, you mentioned that non-elk has been bunched up from A&P like Mercedes-Benz. So just want to make sure that I'm getting all the various picture. And is there any other color you can add which I've missed? I don't think I've heard anything specific for spirits yet. Thank you.
Actually, you're right that it's more because of the bonus adjustment. That's the key. And there's some A&P that increased, especially, for example, like for the NAB group. So those two are the key. For the spread, not much of the impact from the A&P. So when you compare it as a percentage of sales to the third quarter, that is a weak season, it becomes bigger as a proportion of the sales. So that's the two major effects.
Hello. Yes. Okay. Just looking at the spirit. Just looking at this quarter alone, though, even just on spirits itself, on the SGA as a margin, that's that's still about 2 percentage points higher than last quarter year on year. So is that any other reason beyond just the bonus reason?
No, in terms of SG&A for spirits, the key is the bonus. But when you compare as a percentage of sales, those 200 million baht, when you compare it as a percentage of sales, when we adjust it in the third quarter, it will look quite high to the percentage of sales. Normally, when we do that in the fourth Q, it's a best season in the fourth Q, so the percentage, you won't see much of the change in the fourth Q, so you may not notice that.
Okay, thank you. And just a follow-up, what is the outlook for the medium term, call it next year, for OPEX? Can we expect kind of a higher overall versus the 9 months for this year, or is it about the same? Because earlier you mentioned there are some expansions for non-elk, some geographic expansion. So just if you give us a guide, some kind of guide on what to expect for the whole of next year, not just the next quarter, but call it next quarter into 2017 as well.
In terms of for the next year, I cannot give you the forward looking, but in terms of the for the salary, for the bonus adjustment that already shift to the third quarter, so it won't happen in the fourth Q. That's all I can guide you in terms of the SG&A.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Our next question, King Tai, UOB Kian, please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me? Yes?
Yeah.
I just muted the microphone, so I just wonder about the short-term impact from the recent incident. Just in your opinion, how much you think the overall alcoholic market would drop just for the next year? So maybe you can say it in terms of your new fiscal year, because it's going to be like the mourning period starts from last month and it's going to be ended in September next year, right? So those like 12-month period, like you think how much it would drop?
We hope it's not going to be too much. As I mentioned earlier, as we mentioned earlier, that this quarter will suffer, but we believe that from January onward it will come back to normal, but that will be, I cannot speculate it, you know, because we don't know.
Also, if I may add, for NAB, last year we had the big campaign for Mercedes. This year we are totally quiet. Quite dark in that sense. So, you know, the comparables in terms of volumes could be somewhat affected, hopefully not too much.
Okay, Kim Hai, do you have any further question?
So, for the marketing cost overall, that you are going to try to promote your new brand, is it going to be lower in like the fiscal year, just because of like a lower of the marketing activity, and then it's going to be bouncing back to the same level maybe after 1 year? Is it going to be like that, like over after?
Okay, so your question is for the next year, since it's still in the mourning period, will we lower down the A&P spending in the Chang brand since it's during the 1 year mourning period, and hike up again after the mourning period?
Yeah, I think naturally, because during this mourning period, there are things that we can't activate. So on that basis, naturally the marketing spend will decline. So I think that is expected, yeah. So it will decline accordingly.
Can you have like some information like how much, like in terms of like amount? Maybe like lower.
No, I think we can't share with you the specifics, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No problem.
Welcome.
Any further questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
You make me still want to...
Thank you. There are currently no questions. Thank you. There are no further questions. I'll now hand the session back to Ms. Namfon. Please go ahead.
Thank you for joining Thai Barrage conference call tonight. If you have more questions, please feel free to contact IR department at ir@thaibarrage.com. Thank you and have a good night.